is Davin's Den.
This is Davin's Den.
All right, we are back. Thank you for listening or watching Davin's Den live or on podcast, whatever the case may be. I feel like, I don't know, Governor DeSantis is like always in the news.
Yeah, a lot.
Like more than like a lot, like if he's not running for president come 2024, this is all a lot of noise over nothing, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, like I feel like he's becoming like a statement guy. Like him and the Texas governor always got to be out there making some sort of statements instead of like, oh, you know, trying to make things get along to go along like you see like in other, I guess, states where they're not going to possibly be running for president. All right, so we'll get right to it. This is Governor DeSantis' press conference, which will kind of sum up what's going on. Then I'll read a little bit from the attorney side and what's going on, and then we will discuss. But we'll start with Florida Governor DeSantis.
The prosecutor, state attorney for this judicial circuit, Andrew Warren, has put himself publicly above the law. In June of 2021, he signed a letter saying that he would not enforce any prohibitions on sex change operations for minors. And that's a debate that we're having mostly administratively and through medical licensing in Florida, but other states have enacted penalties on the people that would perform those, which are really disfiguring these young kids. And he said, it doesn't matter what the legislature does in the state of Florida, he's going to exercise a veto over that. He's also instituted policies of, quote, presumptive non-enforcement. And this involves an array of different things, and you'll probably hear Sheriff Chronister and some of the other law enforcement officers talk about it. But that is not consistent with the role of a prosecutor. Yes, you can exercise discretion in an individual case, but that discretion has to be individualized and case-specific. You can't just say you're not going to do certain offenses. And then most recently, after the Dobbs decision was rendered by the U.S. Supreme Court, he signed a letter saying he would not enforce any laws relating to protecting the right to life in the state of Florida. And mind you, we have had prohibition on third trimester abortions for a long time. We've had prohibitions on partial birth abortions for a long time. And then most recently, the legislature enacted and I signed protections for unborn babies at 3.5 months. And when they are aborted, it's typically done through a dismemberment procedure, which is really inhumane. Nevertheless, that is what the legislature has enacted, and it's not for him to put himself above that and say that he is not going to enforce the laws. We don't elect people in one part of the state to have veto power over what the entire state decides on these important issues. The Constitution of Florida has vested the veto power in the governor, not in individual state attorneys. And so when you flagrantly violate your oath of office, when you make yourself above the law, you have violated your duty, you have neglected your duty, and you are displaying a lack of competence to be able to perform those duties. And so today we are suspending State Attorney Andrew Warren, effective immediately.
They're very happy. All right, so Warren responds. He accused DeSantis of trying to overthrow democracy here in Hillsborough County at a previously planned news conference during which he unveiled two suspects in a pair of 40-year-old cold case murders. Warren defiantly declared, "I'm still the duly elected attorney of Hillsborough County." If the governor thinks he could do a better job, then he should run for state attorney or not president, Warren said, referencing reports that DeSantis is widely considered to be a contender for the GOP nomination in 2024. Warren did not say if he intends to pursue legal action to avoid the suspension. Although I think he is actually taking legal action. I think that might have changed today. Nor is it clear what happens if he attempts to continue working as the state attorney. Well, if they lock you out, you're just a crazy person. Earlier Thursday, the website for the Office of the State Attorney, 13th Judicial Court Circuit of Florida, was placed in a maintenance mode. By evening, it was back online and featured DeSantis' appointee to replace Warren, Hillsborough County Circuit Court Judge Susan Lopez. Doesn't really make sense how a judge would go down into that position. But okay. The move by DeSantis, a Republican, to remove a Democrat twice elected by Hillsborough voters, drew an immediate and sharp rebuke from Democratic state lawmakers and officials. Minority Leader Senator Lauren Book said DeSantis was behaving more like a dictator than America's governor. Well, no. If that was true, you'd be in jail for saying that. And Agricultural Commissioner Nikki Fried, a Democratic candidate for governor, called Warren's suspension a politically motivated attack on a universally respected state attorney democratically elected to exercise prosecutorial discretion. Ron DeSantis is a pathetic bully, Fried said. You never hear somebody go, well, they were an outstanding bully. It's always pathetic. You know,
bullies never get any respect.
No, they don't get that. Like there's no great best bully of the year award. That's
outstanding achievement as bully.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, take your bows.
Go against each other. You know, bullies compete against each other to see how much milk money they could raise or take.
You know what? It's just an honor to be nominated as an outstanding bully. DeSantis said the decision to suspend Warren came after he directed staff to review whether state attorneys in Florida had taken it upon themselves to determine which laws they like and will enforce. After watching prosecutors in other states decline to press charges for certain crimes, that review led them to Warren, who has become a vocal advocate for criminal justice reform and overturning wrongful convictions. I don't know why it's a bad thing to overturn wrongful convictions. We should all want that. If you're wrongfully convicted, regardless of political affiliation, that's a good thing, I would think. I don't know.
You would think.
I'm not in politics. I'm just thinking clearly. I don't know.
Well, then you can't be in politics.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, sure. The governor should not have had to come to Hillsborough County and clean up our mess, former Tampa Police Chief Brian Dugan said during the press conference. That's really what it comes down to. Under Florida law, a governor can remove any county officer for malfeasance, misfeasance, neglect of duty, drunkenness, incompetence, permanent inability to perform official duties, or commission of a felony. The Florida Senate has the power to reinstate a suspended official or remove that person from office. It's not a dereliction of duty, Warren told CNN's Laura Coates Thursday evening. In fact, it's not even talking about the things that I've done in the office. It's talking about things I may do in the future. I mean, this is out of like 1984, Orwellian thought police. Not to be confused with Cheap Tricks, the Dream Police. Warren maintained he's always used his prosecutorial discretion to consider charges on a case-by-case basis. DeSantis appointed Lopez to serve as state attorney during Warren's suspension. He previously appointed Lopez to circuit court judge in Hillsborough County. DeSantis told reporters they did not speak to Warren ahead of the announcement. Warren was first elected to state attorney in 2016, defeating a longtime Republican incumbent in a narrow race that predicted the bellwether Florida County's leftward turn. He was reelected in 2020, winning a higher percentage of the Hillsborough County vote than President Joe Biden. During his first years in office, Warren kept a relatively low profile as he quietly modernized the office and adopted criminal justice reforms. In 2018, he endorsed the reelection campaign of the county's elected Republican sheriff, Chad Cronister, and often held press conferences with law enforcement. In turn, Cronister praised Warren in the months leading up to the Democrats' campaign for a second term. But Cronister hosted Thursday's press conference at the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office and delivered a biting critique of Warren while standing next to DeSantis. Cronister's wife, Nicole DiPartolo, and father-in-law Edward DiPartolo, a former NFL owner granted a presidential pardon by Donald Trump, have donated a combined $472,000 to DeSantis' reelection campaign. Aha! Warren grew increasingly critical of DeSantis during the pandemic. Early in the coronavirus outbreak, he publicly bashed the governor's decision to allow megachurches to operate in Florida just days after the arrest of a Tampa pastor who defiantly held in-person service. Later that summer, Warren announced he wouldn't prosecute 67 people arrested in a protest following the death of George Floyd. but it was Warren's foray into the country's political divide over transgender and abortion care that sparked Thursday's action from DeSantis. Warren last year joined dozens of local and state prosecutors who signed onto a letter authored by the progressive organization Fair and Just Prosecution denouncing laws that criminalize doctors that provide gender-affirming care for transgender people. After the U.S. Supreme Court voted to overturn Roe v. Wade and eliminate constitutional protections for abortion, Warren signed another letter from Fair and Justice promising to use discretion not to use limited criminal legal system resources to prosecute those who seek to provide or support abortions. The position on abortion put Warren at odds with a new state law that bans abortion in Florida after 15 weeks. DeSantis, who last signed a ban on transgender girls and women participating in scholastic sports as a female, has also taken steps to ban gender-affirming care for children, which he called on Thursday literally chopping off the private parts of young kids. I don't think it's literally that. I don't think
it's not.
I feel like the word literal might sue here. Those are really, I think, egregious, and again, it's beyond just exercising discretion, DeSantis said. DeSantis has used his power to remove certain elected officials more than his predecessors. In one of his first actions as governor, DeSantis suspended Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel, who oversaw the police response to the deadly mass shooting at Parkland High School. But past suspensions were a result of actions already taken by elected officials. Warren suspension is a part for actions yet to be taken. Notably, the state's new abortion law is facing a legal challenge, and one judge said it violated the state's constitution through a higher court, though a higher court said otherwise. Warren says he had not read DeSantis' executive order, but he said he heard it contains a lot of conjecture and lies. Just based on the governor's track record with unconstitutional orders, Warren said, I have a feeling that this is going to be just as unconstitutional. All right, first of all, this between the two of these characters just reeks of politics. It does not... I do not get we're trying to do right by the people. You know, we're trying to enforce laws. We're trying to have justice. No, I get two guys that are grandstanding. That's my first impression, which is really a shame when you're talking about the law and the legal system and how it's going to be enforced. I get the feeling Warren might want to run for governor as a Democrat or some higher office. And we're pretty sure DeSantis wants to run for a higher office. So I think that's what this really is. Both of these guys. That being said, one of the problems with what DeSantis did is he's not reacting to Warren's failing to enforce the law. He's reacting to Warren saying he won't enforce something that isn't a law. That's the problem. DeSantis jumped the gun, you know, and DeSantis even admitted, you know, it's still in conversation. We haven't decided with the transgender thing. Other states, yes, but that's not your state. And as far as the abortion thing, that's being kicked up and down the courts too in Florida. It might go against the Florida state constitution. So that's where DeSantis really is overstepping and looks like a bully. I won't say a pathetic bully. He's a fine bully. One of the best bullies we have. But that's where he really looks like he's overstepping and being a bully. He should have just bided his time, see what happens, see if it becomes a law, see if there's an egregious case that Warren failed to prosecute, and then he could theoretically have something to stand on. Now, to their audiences, Warren's a hero and DeSantis is a hero. You know, to the right, this DeSantis, puff. The same thing with Warren right here, standing up to the right. As an outside observer, I don't think either one of these guys is right. How about don't say what you're going to do with a law that hasn't been. Let's see what you do when it's before you. We don't need you signing something. You signing something does nothing but gets your name out there to win over the left. And DeSantis just looks fucking ridiculous and looks like he did with Disney, overstepping, trying to get his right wing bona fides. And this isn't an anti-DeSantis thing or an anti-Warren thing. It's just so transparent what these two knuckleheads are doing, in my humble opinion.
Well, basically, you look at the headline, and it's DeSantis spends Tampa prosecutor who took a stance against criminalizing the abortion providers. Okay, And then you go with the reason he could be suspended. And suspended is dereliction of duty, malfeasance, so on. So I'm on your side. Some of these laws I agree on, but we're not discussing the law itself. We're discussing the situation with these folks. Excuse me. So he hasn't done anything. DeSantis is doing this on prior decisions he made with the criminal, criminal reform on that. We don't know the cases that were based on the criminal reform. You can't make a decision based on that in this situation, too. I don't know if it's been like New York where they have the reduced bail. But if we're going to look at the essence of this article, he's taken a stance, but there hasn't been a situation where it has occurred and he has dismissed charges. It's kind of leaning to what you're saying. So, and it is political grandstanding. So, he got to wait until something happens, because I don't think it was legit what he did. I think it was a scolding, saying based on your prior decisions, we're going to suspend you because you spoke out on criminalizing abortion providers. But in the law, he's not prosecuting. He's not suspending him on these prior cases, which are resolved. He's suspending him on a case that has not existed yet. So yeah, and it's political. So what's the reason he did? Well, it's political, and on his and on Warren's end, it's political. So I agree with you on that.
You know what's kind of interesting here. I mean, let me gather my thoughts here. I lost my train of thought.
See, it happens.
It just did. I just lost my train of thought. What did I want to say?
Well, here? While you're thinking about that, I just want to say that in the chat, Kimmy says that as a Florida resident, I can tell you with confidence that DeSantis is a booger eating moron.
Well, thank you, Kimmy. Thank you for that well-reasoned takedown of Governor DeSantis.
Yes. No, you know what? I like to hear the woman on the street conversation.
All right. Now there is something to be said for prosecutorial discretion, because resources are limited. Now, I don't know how much money they have in this county. So I don't know if Hillsborough County is flush with money. But let's assume like they're most counties, and they're not. And you can't go after everything. I gotta tell you, I'm much more rather they go after violent crime and burglary and arson and larceny and rapists. If we don't have unlimited resources, then this. That being said. Warren is not above the state law. You know, just because the county voted for him, the governor is more or less his boss. They voted for a Republican governor. They voted for, I believe, a Republican Senate or anything. So even though he's representing that county, he's still, you know, you still got to enforce the laws that the state has. Yes, there's discretion.
You want to know something? God Almighty, you would never think I'm coming on this side. Basically, and look, we discussed it, you know, time and time again. Well, it's a warning that, you know, from your prior thoughts on cases, that you probably will not follow the law. Well, where's the proof? Where is the actual case law?
No. We agree on that. I was just fleshing out some of Warren's arguments and what he was doing. We agree. This was some. Listen, there's one thing I know you like DeSantis, and I don't do these stories to not make you like DeSantis. They just happen to be really interesting stories.
But the thing about it is, I take every story we do. Now with these laws that he wants to enforce, I agree with him. We're not even going to argue about that because it has nothing really to do with the story except that it's the law. However, in the essence of presenting something legally, okay, he got fired for a situation that hasn't happened yet. Okay, if this was a standing case and he did not prosecute the case, then, you know, it's another discussion. But to be based on how you have dealt with other cases, and to have this come up and him to speak out about this and get fired for it, There's no ground. You ever know, you know, in a case, well, this is grounds for. This is ground. There's no grounds.
See, and that's what I know. I know you're a big proponent of DeSantis, but it seems like every time we do one of these stories, he's on the wrong side of logic and what's right with what he did with Disney. You know, how that was just like a spite thing, and it might actually be hurting the local residents within the area because now they're going to have to pony up tax money. With this conversation, there was another one. That's why, I look at this, I go, can the Republicans just get somebody who can govern? Yes, I'm not going to agree with how they govern and what they govern.
You're not going to find somebody. Now, I'm going to bring up the same situation that I had. We brought up the situation on last week's show, if Trump ran, and the whole golf course thing. You're at the debate, and that you're under the debate. You bring that up, okay? He's got an answer to that, okay? Now, with that being said, I feel DeSantis is going to run, all right? So on the same stage, if the Democrats are smart, who knows, they'll bring up this. And if somebody's on their game, they're going to ask them, I want to enforce the law. But there was no case. So you're trying to bully somebody into a
but here's the difference.
There's been no case yet.
Here's the difference. I think the right, who would vote for DeSantis, likes this. I don't think there's very many people, except your hardcore Trump fans, where he can do nothing wrong, that like the Saudi Arabia thing. That's the difference. I think DeSantis could defend against the Democrat. I think he could defend this, and they'd be fine with it. Trump, it's hard to defend the Saudi Arabia thing.
Well, yeah, and with the DeSantis thing, he's going to go up there and he's going to say, "Well, I'm not for alteration, child abuse, and I
Hold on, let me stop you right there. Alterations, like we're going to the tailor. Hey, can you take the penis up a half inch? Can we do that?
But gender, what's the proper term?
Joe, in your defense, both times you're going to be touched inappropriately in the crotch. Because every time you go to the tailor, they reach the hand all the way up. And if you're going for a, quote, alteration, they're going to be taking some off the top toe. So you might be right.
Gender reassignment surgery.
Thank you. All right, thank you.
Yeah, but alteration sounds more pleasant.
if he comes out and says, "Well, I'm not for gender reassignment, and I'm not for abortion," I go, "Well, you know, at this point, neither am I." So you kind of overlook what's going on, okay? And I'm in the core audience. You got me. The deal is you're trying to get more Democrats to lean for you. That's where the trick comes in, because he's doing this. Well, if you're a Democrat, do you agree with it? On the same side of the Democrats, you know, the Democrat side, we're against all this, but all right, fine.
You know what, here's what's interesting about that, like the gender reassignment surgery. I bet there's people on the left who don't like it, and I bet there's people on the right who are fine with it. You know, I think it's one of those things. I don't think it's going to define the election one way or the other, because I think you have people on both sides of that thing. It's not one of these hot, I don't think it's one of these hot button issues.
It's going to define where we are at that given time. If inflation is still high, if gas prices have not gone down, which they have, don't get me wrong, but gone down to a respectable level, if the whole new Green New Deal thing.
Can I just take a real quick sidebar, then we'll get on with things, so we're talking about what the state of the country. You think Biden's thinking, because he's had a pretty good week, they're passing a lot of legislation, popular legislation. Do you think he's going, motherfucking FBI, you got to invade today? Today? You got to put Trump in the heaven? Can I catch a break?
Can it be about me once in a while?
The legislation that they passed,
the CHIPS Act.
I'm sorry?
The CHIPS Act. That's the one he signed today.
Yeah, right. I don't think it's going to work. And I don't want to debate this because I've just started to do the research on it. So I don't, if we start going back and forth,
Well, first of all, it was a bipartisan bill. And you got to like this. I don't know all about it, but there was one thing I did pick up today. So if the government gives you money for research, gives a company or a scientist money for research, wind up building it. You have to do business. You have to make your factories in the United States. I like that a lot. If we're going to give you taxpayer dollars so you could do research to make all the millions and billions or whatever, you're damn well building those factories in the States. I like that a lot.
You know what? I don't even want to debate it now because I really want to study this. This is, you know, if we do have a debate on it,
I think you're going to like it, Joe, and it was bipartisan, which, you know, give Biden credit. He's getting these things bipartisan. I mean, you don't get all the Republicans, but you get some of them, which is which is hard to do.
When did it pass?
No, it's law now. They signed it into law.
They signed it. The Senate signed off on it?
The Senate and the House. It's signed into law. They had Republicans on both sides. Republicans from in the House and in the Senate signed off on it. Not all of them.
All right. I'm not being an asshole. I'm just trying to put everything in chronological order. The Senate signed off on it today.
No, they signed off on it like last week or 2 weeks ago. The President Joe Biden signed it into law today. It's no longer a bill. It's law.
Okay, because I didn't think it was good. I thought it passed either the Senate or the House, and they had one more vote. Like, all right.
No, that was his press conference today. And, you know, it's popular. It's one of these things that people are going to like when it's in there. But then all the headlines are Mar-a-Lago got raided. That's why I'm saying Biden's like, son of a bitch, just please.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was saying. And like tomorrow he's signing that the burn pit law that we talked about a week or two ago. He's going to be signing that into law. And the Fox doesn't cover the press conference, but still, whatever, it doesn't matter. They'll have the press conference, but everybody will still be talking about the raid of Mar-a-Lago. This guy can't get a break.
Really? He's had a couple of good days.
You know my views on the burn pit law. I got to look at this other law. I really got to.
I think you'll like the chips law. There's a lot of things to like. I think you'll like it.
There's a couple of things of the brief read I had. Basically, I saw it and I printed it today. However, I had to do show prep during lunch, so I didn't get a chance to look at. There's a couple of things primarily I don't like. I'm not saying it because I can't. Well, if you call me on the carpet, I don't have the facts or what my feelings backed up on it. So, you know.
Basically.
You're saying your initial feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, the gist of it, and I don't know it very well, but the gist of it is we're going to create a lot more manufacturing jobs in the United States. Like, supposedly, one company with the passing of this law agreed over the next 10 years to put $40 billion into manufacturing and factories in the United States. I mean, this is what we've been screaming about, not just us, everybody, for years, left and right.
Especially what's gone on with the pandemic.
Exactly.
You can't get parts. You're relying on China. It's, you know, to get parts. I mean, I got lead times at a month, you know, more than a month, you know. Some products I can't get till November. So we need to be more.
That's why I'm saying. Like, I don't know every in and out. You know, you might show me things that I agree with you that stink. I don't know. But the gist of it is we're going to add a lot more American jobs, a lot more manufacturing that will deal with supply chain issues and put American workers to work and keep our investments here. And listen, if it was Trump that did it, I'd be happy. If it's Biden that did it, happy. And this is the type of stuff. Like, look,
I don't even care if it's the Easter Bunny, you know. But like I said, there are just primarily some things that I'm hearing that I'm not. I've not done research yet, so I'm not
okay.
Comment.
Well, anyway, the point, my brief point, which turned into a not so brief point, was President Biden actually got himself on a little bit of roll the past like week or two, and again, all we're doing is talking about Trump, and he's got to just be like, it doesn't end. It does. Why can't you ever talk about me?
There's definitely a Biden shake. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go, Pip. I'm sorry. I think I stepped on you.
There's definitely a Biden head shape dent in the wall in the residence at the White House. It's like, oh, I can't it ever be about me.
Well, you have to think about it this way. You know, the midterms are a couple of months away. Number two, I do believe that as we get close or after, excuse me. See the midterms. Do you want to bury this the son with the laptop? Hunter Biden with the laptop down. I think after the elections, they're gonna try to use that. I'm talking about the Democrats to get him out.
So, I don't know, Joe. I don't really want to get into this, but if you look at his record, he's put a lot of things on the board that people like. I agree he's not 100% on his fastball. I agree I'd like somebody younger, but he's getting bipartisan shit done. Shit that Republicans are signing off on, and we haven't seen that in a long time.
You got to remember they're close to the midterms too.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying. Like we got the infrastructure bill, which was popular. This CHIPS Act is going to be popular. I think a lot of things in this inflation bill that they're going to sign is going to be popular. The gun reform, which is not a lot, but one of the things they closed was the domestic abuse loophole, where like now if you're convicted of domestic abuse, you can't get like a firearm. I mean, these are popular things that we never thought, that left or right, you should kind of dig, whether it be manufacturing or abusers not getting access to guns. I mean, these are things that most rational people.
Right. So the key thing here is all of this is still on paper. You have to look at tangible stuff, which should be is going to be gauged because it's day in and day out. Has the price of gas gone down where it's?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. That's always the first thing. If people can't afford if people can't afford to drive to work or pick up groceries, that's always going to take precedent.
Let me tell you something. Gas went down. However, gas has been about, like, where it was $35 to fill up the car. It was now $65.
Too much.
Down 55. You know, I'm sorry?
I said it's still too much.
Right, exactly. Okay, with that in mind, I go to the – so you go, all right, I'll cut down on food at the supermarket. Everything is $10 where it was like $7. I mean, I'll give an example. When the cracked corn I get for the deer – was $11. It's $15 now. You know, so that's kind of tangible where everything else is.
See, and that's the type of thing. Here's the reality of it. That's the type of thing a president really can't control, whether he's Democrat or Republican, really can't control. But it's the type of thing that gets hung around the president's neck, left or right.
The thing about it is that hung around his neck, but it's a tangible thing where it's affecting you in the pocket.
Yeah.
It's affecting you on where your paycheck goes. So, it's a manager with anything else. Something happens, it's your problem to fix. And he's going to be hung on that. The bill, even if I agree with it or don't, well, it's going to have this, it's going to have that, it's going to have, all right, great. I'm still spending $50 on a small bag of groceries, and it supports the kill of the car. This is day-to-day stuff, which is probably going to be, the hill to die on. So we don't know.
No, absolutely. Listen, if inflation is still, come November of 2024, it's still here, there's going to be a big problem. But we don't know what's going to be. All right, let's move on. But I agree with you. If things are really too expensive, it's going to be hard to overcome.
Can I just say one last thing? I think with the inflation, the raising of the interest rates, obviously it's going to slow down people buying products. If it slows down people buying products, basically, it gives manufacturers a chance to catch up, because if they're not moving a lot, stuff is eventually coming in, and then after a while, you get back to a competitive thing where everybody's trying to get the best price, and that might bring the inflation rate down.
Well, you also have to remember, not to get too much into the weeds, but manufacturing changed several years ago. Where, manufacturing, they used to have, I don't remember how many months it was, but they had a cushion sitting in the warehouses. And that kind of changed a few years ago where they stopped having that cushion. So that's why when we got hit hard, we all felt it immediately. They didn't have anything to fall back on. And that's not a Donald Trump thing or a Joe Biden thing or a Ron DeSantis thing or a Barack Obama thing. That was just a manufacturing decision.
Well, the good thing about it is, let's say I have the gas connector. My gas connector, you want a 72-inch gas connector. It's November. I might get them in November. If I've got no stock and no customers aren't buying them, when they do come in, now I have them, and now everybody else has them. So now everybody's going to compete with try to get the best price, which helps it, because basically with us, we have a plan in store. When we start getting stock in on the gas connectors, we have to catch up with everybody else. So it means price. I have to go. Price brings the cost of everything down. So we'll see what happens. I tell you, the whole thing with the how the economy's doing, and it changes. When it first started slowing down with inflation, all the economists said, well, it looks like it might turn around. It's going to happen, but not to the effect that they thought it would be. It's a crapshoot. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, the, you know, the experts don't know. The expert. Whatever. I don't want to get all into it because I don't. A parent has condemned a North Carolina school after her son and his fellow black students were, quote, sold at a mock slave auction by their white classmates, according to reports. What could go wrong with this? Ashley Palmer complained. What?
Didn't we do something similar to this?
I don't think. It's not this story, is it?
I don't
know. No, it's not the same story.
But it's worth a discussion because, if, you know, the second time this has happened, you got to look at.
I feel like the other one was like a. I feel like the other one was a teacher in class doing it. Where this is different. Yeah. Okay. Ashley, you guys remember better than I do. Ashley Palmer complained on Facebook about the shocking incident at the K-8JS Water School in Goldston, near Raleigh, which has 195 students, 68% of whom are white, the News and Observer reported. Our son experienced a slave auction by his classmates, and when he opened up, we were made aware that this type of stuff seems to be the norm so much that he didn't think it was worth sharing, Palmer, who is white, wrote on March 4th. His friend went for $350, and another student was the slave master because, quote, he knew how to handle them, she wrote. We even have a video of students harmonizing the N-word. Since when were children so blatantly racist? Why is this culture acceptable? Palmer added, parents teach your kids that this behavior isn't okay. Teach them also that silence is complicity. Laughter is even worse. Tell me about it. That's why nobody does it at my shows. The mother was reportedly further infuriated when she learned that those involved had only received a one-day suspension for the abhorrent act, which sparked outrage in the community. A group called Chatham Organizing for Racial Equality said in a press release Monday that the auction involved middle school students and occurred in the presence of staff and faculty and while being filmed, according to the paper. On Monday, Chatham County School Superintendent Anthony Jackson apologized for the incident and ordered immediate action to prevent similar activities from happening again. I want to offer an apology to every single student who has ever felt unsafe while in our care. To every student who has ever felt demeaned, disrespected, or marginalized because of their race, ethnicity, sex, gender, religion, or disability, Jackson said, the Daily Beast reported. In Chatham County schools, we proudly boast that diversity is our strength. Well, maybe not. And moving forward, it will be our intentional focus to ensure that this celebration includes everyone. Well, that's what diversity would mean, stupid. It would include.
Yeah.
But what do I know? Actions such as these, they just do not reflect who we are as a school system. Well, maybe they do, and will not be tolerated. Those who participate in acts that demean any person are acting outside the values of our school system. Can we stop? Hold on, let me stop there right now. Like, whenever something abhorrent, whether it's like a sports team, or in this case at school, it doesn't reflect our values. Maybe you don't know the values of your organization. Maybe you, by being a decent person, don't reflect the values of this horrible institution that you're in charge of. Maybe that's more honest.
It's not reflecting the values they have on paper, but maybe it is reflecting the hidden values that people actually hold.
I'm glad you brought this up because I didn't want to interrupt on the story. We proudly boast that diversity is our strength, and moving forward will be our intentional focus to ensure celebration. Everyone, bullshit. This auction occurred in the presence of staff and faculty while being filmed.
But Joe, isn't that diversity? No, Joe, that's diversity because you have students and you have faculty and staff. That's diverse. That's two different groups of people.
but to put a statement out like that.
Well, what do you want him to say? Joe, what do you want him to say? What do you, we done fucked up?
Faculty sitting there being filmed. You don't give a shit.
Well, maybe they're film majors. All right, let's
I want staff and faculty fired. Whoever was there, I want them fired. Don't mind this apology.
All right, you're jumping ahead here. Let's get through this.
They're practicing diverse racism.
I don't know what the outcome is. You lead on, Macbeth.
Okay. All right. As painful as it's been to hear some of these accounts, I want to thank the again, painful. It's not painful for you. It's painful for the students, stupid. You'll be okay. As painful as it has been to hear some of these accounts, I want to thank those who exercised the courage to step forward and speak their truth. No, it's not their truth. It's the truth. It is now our responsibility to do the things all students need to be the true beneficiaries of the many wonderful programs and opportunities we have to offer in our school system.
fucking seething. It's now our responsibility. It was when you filmed the damn thing.
We're making a documentary.
I am fucking livid.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. Glad you're livid. Good. And for a change, it's not directed at me. Even better. During public comments at the Monday meeting, Christy Wagner, a parent of one of the sold black students, made an emotional plea to the board. The reality is these acts of racism are not only happening here in Chatham County, but across North Carolina and across the country, she said, the News and Observer report. Maybe I don't want to move to North Carolina, by the way. I might have to take that back. The reality is these acts of racism are not only happening here in – oh, I read that already. Stupid. More should be done around addressing racism in schools because no parent should have to stand here after hearing their son was sold in a slave trade at school. I agree. That is not what trade school means. I've never thought in a million years I would be standing here talking about my son experiencing racism in middle school. This moment in my son's early life has already made him question playing a sport he loves with his friends. I pray this does not impact him mentally and socially going forward. All right, so there's a lot of things to hear. We've already kind of none of us are pleased with this.
No, we can't. You couldn't get through the story because we're so pissed.
Yeah,
not outraged. This is not outrage. This is not a case where everybody's got to relax. People need to be fired. People have to know this, and these people need to be fucking fired.
All right. There's something that they said. One of the parents said, "Where this is taught at home." I'm not gonna say every white student. I'll assume they were mostly white. Was the sellers were taught at home. Kids pick up a lot of shit that they're not taught at home. Now some might come from racist parents, but I don't want to just blindly blame the parents for this.
No, not necessarily, because you know they don't exist in a vacuum.
I'm going to say something that's going to be a little shocking. First of all, I agree with you, Joe. Let me say that. That the faculty who was there, I mean, I don't know. What type of sensitivity training do you have to teach? Hey, when you see students being sold as slaves, knock it off. We have eight classes you have to take on this. No, you should kind of know that going in. Okay. That being said, I can kind of envision as a youth participating in something like this, because kids do stupid things that they think are funny but are not now. And I've told it before and I'll tell it again. There was I never participated in anything like this, but there was a kid in high school. He was dating a girl, but he was clearly effeminate and later on came out as gay. And, you know, we would call him Blaine because Blaine is an effeminate name, you know, that type of thing. Did stuff like that. And we had a good old chuckle over that. And I look at it now and go, oh, what an asshole. Why? But with age comes wisdom. So I can actually see kids doing this and not getting the gravity of how wrong and how hurtful and how despicable this is. I can see that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That being said, 1 day suspension, nay. That is not enough. There's got to be a week suspension. I don't think you got to kick the kids out of school for this. But there's got to be a week in school suspension where we have lessons about slavery and racism in the country, so you can educate yourselves. So going forward,
and not only that. The faculty that were there were fired.
I'm fine with that.
You start off your diversity training, or the diversity training where what happened a couple of weeks ago were wrong. Mr. So-and-so, Ms. Thumb have been dismissed because he did not see the gravity of what they did. You need to see the gravity. We're going to have, you know.
See, that's the thing. Like, I can almost give the kids a pass. Not a pass from suspension, but a pass from thinking that this was okay on some level. You can't do that with the adults in charge. There's just no excuse.
Well, boy, this show's going to be boring because we're agreeing on every damn thing. But because kids, they're stupid. You do this training and you explain why Mr. were all dismissed because what they did was wrong. This week, we are going to sit and we're going to review how, you know, the degradation of all of this affects everyone. And that, and you make it a teaching moment. The teachers knew better. They're gone. And when the kids move on from this, they're going to realize that what they did was so wrong. They didn't get suspended. The teachers, the adults, got fired. That's something you're never going to forget.
Now, I wonder, right, with this story, because I think back to the George Floyd case. Not that this is the same. It's obviously not the same. But there was the cop in charge who, I can't remember his name, who wound up killing George Floyd. And then there were the younger cops who kind of stood by because it was the superior, and there's that intimidation, and you don't know what to do. So I would really like to know more. I don't want to just blanketly say I'm firing everybody. Now, everybody needs to be disciplined. Everybody certainly needs to be disciplined. But, like, if there's somebody who's so much more senior and is allowing this to go on, and then you have, like, a teacher's assistant, because they say staff. They say staff. And, like, you know, a college teacher's assistant or just out of teaching school, do they get the same punishment? I don't know if they should, you know? I mean, because it's clearly wrong, but I do get the group dynamic thing, the intimidation. Not everybody has the temerity and the fortitude. It's very hard to stand up in front of your peers or superiors.
I hate to interrupt, and I'm not being combative. Who comes in and because, well, it not should be, you know, it shouldn't be everybody. Maybe there were certain situations that they were in where they felt wrong. All right, so let's say, oh, for Pete's sake, there's five. Who do we bring in to interview them, to interview their thoughts and why they didn't speak out, and to make the decision on, you know, what's going on?
I think it would be the superintendent that we heard from. I think it's the principal and the superintendent. You need authority figures there, you know, because the principal, because it's his school or her school, and it doesn't seem like the principal was involved in this. The superintendent, and you got to get the parents in. You need to get the parents and the student. You need to interview everybody. But to answer your question, I would think it would be the superintendent would be the highest person in charge, and maybe the Board of Education too. I don't know how involved you want to get. But I think the superintendent, I think that's where they step in, and this is their responsibility.
Yeah, because I think you bring up a valid point. Let's say you have a guy in his 21 or a young lady at 22. They just got their degree in teaching. They just lucked out and they got picked up from the school. Well, why aren't you saying anything? Because I'm afraid for my job. I've got over $100,000 in student loans. I'm trying to get my feet wet teaching as an assistant or whatever. And I, you know, if I felt I spoke out, yeah, I do agree. So I could lose my job or, you know, something in my record. So, you know, if the superintendent and the principal are reasonable, say, all right, we're going to put a note in your file of being there for a year. And at least you know this was wrong, you know, so on and so forth. So, yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. It's easy to stand on our, you know, soapbox, you know, Monday morning quarterback. How many other things can I throw at this? But, I mean, it's easy for us to, on the sidelines, to say, you know what, why didn't you stand up and say something? But to both your point, yeah, if it's like a teaching assistant and, you know, their supervisor is standing there letting it happen, you know, they're just probably going to get disciplined or fired for saying something when their superior is standing there, their so-called superior is standing there allowing it to happen. You know, people need their jobs. And I'm not saying that it's the right thing to do is stand there and say nothing, but there is that human factor of, I still got to put groceries on the table.
It is, yeah. It's hard to be brave. All right.
Well, yeah.
I'm glad we're all outraged by that. That's good. I didn't think we wouldn't all be outraged by it, but I'm glad we all are. All right. This is Pip's blog. I will read the story, and then I will let Pip have first crack at it. A woman pulled over during a traffic stop in Alaska last month showed cops her white privilege card instead of her driver's license. The local police department on Thursday said the two officers violated department policy when they let her go without a citation, the Anchorage Daily News reported. Mimi Israela said she was pulled over for weaving in the early morning hours in July 9th. I don't think it was with a loom. After having returned to Anchorage on an early flight from California where she had attended a Trump rally and a now-deleted Facebook post. She said she couldn't find her driver's license, but as she flipped through the cards in her wallet, she spotted her white privilege card. Israela, who describes herself as Pinay, a woman of Filipino ethnicity, in her Twitter bio, handed the novelty card, which read, "White privilege card trumps everything," to one of the officers and asked if it was okay. He laughed and called his partner. "It's their first time seeing the white privilege cards," she said in the Facebook post. One officer can be heard calling the card hilarious in a video reportedly shot by Israela and reposted on Twitter. The officers identified as Nicholas Bowe and Charles Warland let Israeli go without issuing her a citation for driving without a license. What about the fucking weaving? I mean, they get a citation for that too. Anchorage Police Department Chief Sean Case said many people felt the interaction was inappropriate. "We recognize that," he said. One of these people was Celeste Hodge Groden, president of the Alaska Black Caucus. She questioned if the officers decided against issuing a citation due to the novelty card. "Is it because the white privilege card was effective?" she asked. Anchorage police investigated the incident and placed Warland and Brown on administrative leave during the 11-day probe. That's a long time to be probed. The internal investigation determined that the two officers violated department policy, but police wouldn't say which policy was violated and if the officers face any repercussions. The investigation regarding the incident is completed and is an important part of confidential personnel files that will not be released publicly, an Anchorage Police Department spokesperson said. The two officers remain employed by the department. Hodge Groden is calling for the police department to release details of the investigation and any repercussions the officers face in a plea for greater transparency. She said the incident could have been used as a teachable moment. And this was Pip's blog, so Pip gets the teachable moment.
There's a couple different things. There's several different things to unpack from this story. And first of all, you know, people actually carrying something that says, even though it's a joke, saying by white privilege card, you know, I think that a lot of the people who would carry such a card don't understand what the term even means and are not actually acknowledging that it's a real thing. But having said that, I didn't touch on this particular part in my blog because I'm not really sure how to feel about a Filipino woman carrying a white privilege card.
As a white person, are you offended?
No. No, I didn't want to go into it because I was like, do people consider people from the Philippines white?
No. But no, they don't. No.
I don't know. And so
I'm telling you, like, no. You've never seen the Filipinos marching with the neo-Nazis.
No. But I mean, like, so I was just like, oh, I don't know what to think about that. Is that, like, white as opposed to what else? Like, I don't know.
See, here's the thing. If I'm that cop and a Filipino woman hands me that white privilege cards, I laugh and go, it's hilarious, go, you're not white. Now that would probably get me in trouble, but that's where I would find the comedy in the whole situation.
Well, I was thinking that, you know, I think most white people would not look at Filipino people and say that they're white. They're Southeast Asian, right? So I was like,
they're a combination. Okay,
I don't know what to do with that, because that's not really the point of the whole thing, but it's bizarre.
It's a combination of Asian and Latin. I don't think they consider themselves Asian, but I thought they were Asian. I don't know. It's a whole thing. I'm not an expert on it. But they're not Caucasian. Really, they're not Caucasian.
I'm not an expert. Yeah. I'm not an expert on this. And I didn't want to go into that in the blog because that wasn't really the point. The point is that I don't think anybody acknowledged the irony of somebody using a white privilege card and actually getting away with what they were doing. You know, that's what the whole idea of white privilege is that you can get away with it, but somebody who's not white wouldn't. But also, I don't know how mad I want to be about this, because honestly, who amongst us doesn't do whatever they can to get out of a ticket? Whatever stupid device you could think of, or lie, or thing to say, people will do it. And cops are human beings, and if you can make them laugh, sometimes they'll let you go on a minor infraction. Now, weaving, yeah, you know, was she drunk? I don't think that she would be forgiven for that. But maybe she was just reaching for something or, you know, you know, people have been weaving on the road, and it's just they're distracted with something in the car. Yeah, should they get a citation for, you know, not being a cautious driver? Yeah, probably. But speeding and, like, minor infractions like that when it's late and nobody's around, if you can make a cop laugh, they'll let you go. So
yeah, but they're not supposed. They're not supposed to.
I am about that particular aspect of it.
They're not supposed to. But yeah, no. There's. I got out of a ticket, but because you know, cop asked me where I was going. I'm a comic. I'm going to the Culture Cup. Joe remembers that place, the Culture Cup.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a comic. Tell us some jokes. I'm outside the car. You want some cop jokes? Told him some cop jokes. Got off the ticket. I get it. And I totally get you'll do anything to get out of a ticket. I admire the balls of this Filipino woman to pull out the white privilege card.
That was really shocking.
You know, my whole thing on this is, she's got the white privilege card. She's, you know, Filipino. She's got, you know, she's a diehard Trump supporter. That makes the cop laugh, blah, 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 blah. The fact is, though, is that she did not have a license on her, okay? And you should get a fine for not having a license on you. It's not something, well, you know, we're going to let you go. You don't have a license on you. What's the fine? Maybe $50, $75. You need to have a license on you. Fact that the cops let her go without a license, so she can continue. And how do you know how long she's going to drive the car without a license? You know?
So, yeah, generally what they do with these things, as I recall, is like you'll get a ticket. But, like, if you come down to, like, the police station or the courthouse or whatever it is, like, on a certain day and present it, they'll rip it up, that type of thing.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I mean, they definitely should have given her a citation for that because she doesn't have a license.
Or produce the license or whatever. Like, give me an example. If you have a tail light out, okay, the cop will write you up for having a tail light out and go, all right, here's the ticket. You got a tail light out. This is what you do. Get the tail light fixed. Go to the precinct. See the desk sergeant. We rip the thing up. That's just a minor thing that you have to get. But you do get a ticket, and you have to take care of it. Regardless of how tongue-in-cheek the situation was, the cop, because the fact you do not have a license, you have to get a citation. Look, if I got written up for something, well, I didn't have a damn license on me. You know, what am I going to argue? I don't have a license. You need to have a license on you when you're operating a motor vehicle. Case closed. So yeah, they should be disciplined.
Yeah, I don't fault the woman for trying because, as Pip said, you'll kind of try anything. I mean, I would not carry that type of car
because it's a funny story.
Yeah,
you know, but when the story stretches out and the cops didn't, you know, give her a citation for no license, they're not doing their job.
See, that's where I have the my problem with this story is that the police won't tell you what happened after this. Like, let us know the discipline. Let's make an example of this. You know, it's a public story now. Now, listen, I want cops to be able to have discretion, but when shit gets blown up and, you know, you lose your discretion, unfortunately, it's a shame. You know, I'm torn. I don't know. You know, I agree with Joe. The law is the law. But listen, I've sped and the cops let me go. So, but I don't know. It's just
The thing about it, yeah, you said, look, I've got out of a couple of tickets, you know, you're a con, but the same old, well, tell us a joke, blah, 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 blah. So, a matter of fact, I was coming down after our show one night on 17. I got pulled over by a cop, and he goes, you know, you got a tail light. Where are you coming from? I go, well, I'm a comic. I do a podcast. Oh, great. What, up the road. Oh, great. Okay, good. So, and it was the same case. I'm going to give you a ticket for a light up. Go to the precinct, get it fixed, go to the precinct, we're done. You know, and I think he pulled me over because, you know, it was late at night. Well, you know, I mean, we get done at 9:30, 10, and then I go up to Dunkin' Donuts. So I'm on the road at like 10:30, whatever. You know, I'm not drinking. But the thing is even I made him laugh or whatever, it was just a taillight out. It was not having identification to operate a car. And if you do speed 15 minutes over the 20 miles over the speed limit, whatever, all right, we're going to let you go. We're going to keep your eye on you. But you still showed a license when he asked for a license and insurance. So that's the difference here.
I wasn't completely clear. Maybe I have reading comprehension issues, but I wasn't completely clear that she never produced a license. She was looking for the license and didn't find it, and she pulled that out and said, will that do? And they were all ha, ha, ha. I don't know that she didn't subsequently pull out a license.
Well, it makes it seem like they didn't, because that she was, they failed to give her a ticket for not pulling it for failure to produce a license. It said that.
Yeah, and usually, okay. You know, usually the way it works, you have a laugh, and they're like, "All right, I got to go to the car. Be right back." And you know, it's up to what happened. But if I'm Officer Jones, I'll come back and I go, "All right, look, you don't have your. I got to give you a citation. So I'm just going to want to see that. Here's the citation. Make sure you pay it." And, you know, well, I'll take it. I'll go to court, whatever the case. I have to give you a citation. I mean, when you show this funny, I have to give you a citation. Get the license. Go to the motor vehicle tomorrow. Get the license, you know, and you'll know to keep a license on you, you know, for the next time. But you have to do something in regards to that not having a license on you operating a motor vehicle.
True.
I will say this, and then we'll move on. Not a great look for a president. Former president, or somebody running for president, where people are giving out white privilege cards with your name on it, not a great fucking look.
Well, here's the deal, okay? If it's a white guy like you or I, and we're doing that, it's like, it's not really that funny. You're a Filipino woman in Trump gear, and you get a white privilege card. That's funny. You
know? No. We agree. It's funny. I'm just saying it's not a great look for a politician that these are being held out at their events. And I'm not saying that Trump is endorsing it or anything like that. I'm just saying it's not a great look for somebody like me. For a lot of other people, it might be fine, but I don't like it. I don't think it's great.
You know my feelings on Trump. But as a diehard, and we've discussed this plenty of times on the show, where diehard Trump fans don't want to listen to anything or any alternative thing or whatever. Almost bad is really right, you know, left-wing liberals. But the simple fact is that she's a Filipino woman handing out a white privilege card. That's hysterical. You get a fucking ticket.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't think any of the people in the story realize how hysterical it is. That's the most disconcerting thing. Like, I don't think she sees the irony, and I don't think the police see the irony.
Yeah. Oh, right. Maybe they did.
All right. Well, you're being generous. All right. Let's move on to Queen Bee, Beyonce. All right. Beyonce is changing a lyric to a song on her new album, Renaissance, following criticism by many people in the disability community that the track contained an ableist slur, which is a phrase until this story I had never heard before, ableist slur. The 11th track, Heated, contained the word spaz, a slur against people with disabilities. Lizzo received backlash for the same word after initially including it in her single Girls, which was released in June. After fans pointed out that the word originates from spastic, the artist changed the lyrics. Someone who is spastic is born with a disability which makes it difficult for them to control their muscles, especially in their arms and legs, according to Collins Dictionary. Most people now refer to someone with this disability as having cerebral palsy. According to the Mayo Clinic, generally cerebral palsy causes impaired movement associated with exaggerated reflexes, floppiness or spasticity of the limbs and trunk, unusual posture, involuntary movements, unsteady walking, or some combination of these. On Monday, Beyonce fans had similar feedback for the artist with her use of the word. Some also know that the term has a different meaning in the black community, commonly used to mean go crazy. In African-American English, or African-American vernacular English, we've been over this. Spaz in AAVE is not the same word, one person tweeted. Please educate yourself on our language the way we've been encouraged to read up on ableist terms. Similarly, in response to the Lizzo discussion in June, another person tweeted, this honestly feels like a case of misunderstood AAVE because I'm a spaz out goes back to the 90s, and I've never known it to be tied to a medical condition. Not to say that it's not problematic. There's been many times where black people have transformed words to mean what we want. I don't think you can really do that with words, but I guess if you're black, you can. A representative from Beyonce said in a statement that the word was not used in a intentionally harmful way will be replaced. Now activist and TV personality Monica Lewinsky is requesting the Grammy-winning superstar adjust another lyric from a 2013 song. In a tweet Monday, which cited the Heated lyric change, Lewinsky wrote, while we're at it, hashtag partition. Lewinsky had an affair in the 1990s with then-President Bill Clinton while she was a White House intern. The sex scandal captivated the media, exploded, like him, in the cultural zeitgeist, and eventually led to Clinton being impeached in the House. In Beyonce's 2013 song Partition, from her self-titled fifth studio album, she sings, he bucked all my buttons, he ripped my blouse, he Monica Lewinsky'd all over on my gown. Lewinsky has referenced a Beyonce lyric before in both her Twitter bio, referring to herself as a rap song muse, and a 2014 interview with Vanity Fair in which she wrote about the affair for the first time in a decade, say, "Thanks, Beyonce, but if we're verbing, I think you meant Bill Clinton's All My Gown, not Monica Lewinsky." When one Twitter user asked Lewinsky why she maintains the reference to a rap song muse in her bio, Lewinsky responded, "Because learning to laugh about things which hurt or humiliated me is how I survived." Lewinsky said she has not officially reached out to Beyonce, and the singer's representatives had not made any statements so far about the lyric. But her loyal throng of fans, known affectionately as the Beehive, have swarmed after Monica Lewinsky for suggesting a revision to the pop star's 2000 song Partition. Lewinsky raised a complaint, which she debuted. The track has included the word shiz, which was critiqued as spaz. Asked if she had contacted Beyonce's team to officially request the lyric, Lewinsky replied, "No, I haven't." Lewinsky's tweet was quickly taken over by Beyonce supporters who attempted to shut down her request. Some argued that she had referenced the lyric lightheartedly in her 2014 Vanity Fair piece. "Girls, shut up. We ain't removing nothing from Partition. You better find another song," said another reply. A third user commented, "You're saying that Beyonce should remove a line from her song that came out 9 years ago? And why are you only talking about Beyonce? There were plenty of other artists who were more disrespectful. Beyonce's line wasn't even bad." All right, a lot of things here to unpack. First of all, a lot of feedback on this Twitter poll. I asked, Beyonce removed the word spaz from her song. Heated when fans said it was offensive. Monica Lewinsky wants her name removed from the song Partition, which involves a sex act. Should Beyonce remove Lewinsky's name? 27.3 said yes. 72.7 said no. Keep the name in there. I don't think she should remove the name. She could remove it. I mean, it would be a very kind thing to do. I don't think she will do it.
Yeah, Monica Lewinsky's got a real... I mean, yeah, it would be nice. But the thing about it is, I'm sure by this point, Monica Lewinsky knows that she's a footnote in American culture. And a lot of comparisons to cigars and, you know, splash and sauce and stuff like that could be a thing to heart. You know, I say to keep the song in. If you have a nice gesture, then you take it out. Now, in the thing about spaz.
Well, hold on. Before we go on about spaz, can I just say Monica Lewinsky got a really bad deal? And I didn't realize it at the time. I was a young open mic comic writing these stupid jokes. And I've told you guys before, I actually did a show when this was going on where Monica Lewinsky was in the audience. I mean, I understand why comics made a big deal. But if you look back at it, what a raw deal she got. She's a young girl. Yeah, you know what? She committed adultery with the president. But what a piece of shit he is. You know, I mean, seriously. Why does she have to suffer? It just seems... So, I mean, and you look at the way Monica Lewinsky comports herself now, she seems like a lovely, nice human being. I really feel bad for the raw end of the cigar.
Well, yeah, President Clinton was a piece of shit because I did not have sex with that woman. And then, you know, about almost a year later, he's coming out, "Well, if somebody was tugging at your balls, you know what I mean?" So, But in the other case, with the word spaz, now she's primarily popular in the African American community. Okay, the word spaz is a as they say, it's a slang term, go crazy, and for them, you know, turn around and go, "Well, you know, that's respect," but the music is not catered to you. It's catered pretty much to an RB, you know, crowd, which. They understand what that word. It's like we're discussing my act on context on things. You know, it's almost like with the N-word, where you could go, "Well, you know, I'm white and I could use the N-word." Well, no. Well, what do the black people have? And I call hypocrisy on why they do it. However, if the slang term for that is used so much for the black community that they don't find it offensive, well, you got to pull it out of the book. I see the hypocrisy, but if, you know, looking at straight facts, where it's a slang term used in the black community, it stays in. You know, it's the same thing. If it's music catered to a community where the word is accepted by the community, then for other people, well, it's got to come out. No, 95% or 80% of the community listens to this music. And if you're not in that community, but you do like the music, you need to understand that that word is popular in that community. It's not making it's not against handicapped people, you know?
I didn't even realize spaz was offensive. I'm sure I've used the word spaz. I probably won't use it anymore. Now that I know it's offensive, but it never occurred to me. You know, we used to say, oh, he's a spaz or he's spastic, but it never occurred to me that it was offensive to people with cerebral palsy. And I don't know why. I think it was just, and I guess this is part of being woke, but I think it's the best part of being woke where you actually like learn shit. You know what? You know, it's like, oh, okay. I don't need to use that word, so I won't use the word. Now, I get what Joe's saying about it means something else to a different group of people, and apparently that's a thing, but I'm not a member of that group of people, so I don't think I need to use the word spaz any longer.
I think that I'm with you on that. It's like the whole idea of being woke is waking up to other people's opinions and other people's realities and saying, yeah, is that a word I need to use? It's just like the R word. We don't use that anymore. At least, you know, kind, thoughtful people do not use that word anymore.
Do you guys realize, Pip, do you realize for years I sold a popular shirt from my show, Retardation by Association? I couldn't sell enough of those things.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Like I said, I with the R word, I do a whole joke in my act about the R word. I haven't heard it before, and I'm like, the way I preface it is, I go, let's talk about the word retard. In the special needs community, if you're using the word in that term, it's wrong, hurtful, and mean, and should never be used. However, if you're 35, living in your parents' basement, going to Comic-Con dressed as Frodo, you're a retard. Because it's in two different contexts. And that's what I'm saying about, you know, about this. Will I use the word spaz again? If it's in a context that it's so blatantly, you know, it's so blatantly not against anybody that's spasticated, you know, I'll use the word. I'm not going to, you know, but I may be conscious of it, and I'll pick and choose a situation to use the word. The same thing with the word retard, you know? I mean, as a matter of fact, when a plane lands, and it gets lower. They'll put the flaps down, and this voice comes out, retard, retard, retard. They're not goofing on retarded people. They're trying to land a fucking plane.
Well, yeah, as a musician, you should also know that retard is used as a musical term to slow down. That's what context of the word is there when you're calling
a
person.
It's a retardant. That. A fire retardant. Yeah, it means that it's slow. To slow down is, yeah, that's what it means.
It retards the, also, when you retard the spark plugs in the car, it doesn't mean the car is drooling. I mean, it means that you have to take back, you know, adjust the plugs in the car. You know, so
right.
It's the context of everything. And it's the context of phrasing something where it's so blatant, and this is, you know, this is tread lightly, this is in my act. You have to preface it where it's so not, in any situation, so not derogatory to the situation you're describing, or you know, describing. So you know, and like I said, it's with spaz, absolutely. Monica Lewinsky is another story where, yeah, maybe she wants to do it out of the kindness of her heart, changing the words. You know, she you know is a part of American cultural history.
I will say this though. It does not seem like Beyonce bought the argument that it means something different to black people. At least it did not move her. You know, because Beyonce or Beyonce's people did not make that argument. They just go, oh, okay, that's offensive. We don't need it. Good for Beyonce.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's kind of it's disingenuous for them to say, oh, that means something else to black people. The derivation of the word is from spasticity, people who have a disability. So, yeah, you might use it as, oh, we're going crazy, but that's not where it was derived from. And the saying, oh, we're using it because in black culture doesn't mean that. No, it's not the same as black people taking back the N-word so that it's not hurtful to them. That's their word, that's their issue, that's their feelings. So yes, they should be encouraged to take back the words and to, you know, not feel marginalized by it. But wait a second, let me finish the point. The thing is, they are not people with physical problems like cerebral palsy. So they don't get to take back the word. It's two different things. They're using a word that it hurts somebody else. That's not the same as the N-word case.
But if it's so is the N-word, you know? And I think that they have, you know, it's been a word that's prevalent in their vernacular. It's, you know, it's in our community and, you know, we don't want anybody else saying that. I have my feelings on that. However, Baz has been a term that has never ever been connotated to basticated people. It is connotated to a slang word in the community that the music is prevalently based to or sold to.
But the derivation of the word, where it came from, is from spastic, which does mean people with physical deformities. And just because we used the word doesn't mean that now that we're aware of what it means and that it's hurtful to that community, that we should continue to use the word.
No, I think Beyonce, listen, Beyonce is one of the most powerful people in entertainment. I think the fact that she doesn't have to do this. She's beyond this. I think it sets a positive example. Good for Beyonce. I do think it's interesting though. Like I look at current lyrics differently than older lyrics. As you look back at older shit in today's context, you go, "Good God, this is terrible." But at the, but at the time, we didn't look at things that way. So that's one way I could say, you know what, Beyonce's changing spaz. But you know what, we're going to keep Monica at the... Yeah, looking back now, she probably wouldn't write that lyric. But you know what, the song's 9 years old. It is what it is, unfortunately.
It's based on a memory of, at a certain time. You know, I was talking to Dennis, our pal Dennis, and we were getting my concert tickets straightened away. So we were talking about the music, and he didn't mean any words to a certain time, but he brought back, I'm going to see Billy Joel again with him and his wife in December. And Dennis pointed out, he goes, you know, seeing Billy Joel, it brings back that point in time where you were when you heard the song, you know, and there's nothing more amazing than that, where at our age now, it's like going into a machine back in time, because at the time, it meant something and the memories meant something. So with this word, you know, with the word spaz in it, same thing. You know, the song had a meaning, you know, at a certain time in your life. When Freeze Frame plays from Jay Giles Band, that whole album brings me back because I was dating this girl, Gail, who was really a sweet girl, very funny girl and stuff like that, you know, and that album was out. Every time I hear the Centerfold, I hear Freeze Frame, it brings me back to that time when I was 19 years old and I met this girl at a party. She was really cool. She actually wanted me to be a comic and, you know, and help me with getting into college. And if I ever met her now, I'm like, I just want to let you know that I wound up going to college and then I'm going to stand up comic for 24 years.
You know what I've deduced from that story? You know what I deduced from that story, Pip? Joe's girl no longer listens to the show. That's what I deduced from that story.
No, she knows about her. I told her the story.
Oh, yeah. Is that a memory you're allowed to have?
Say what?
I said, is that a memory you're allowed to have?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. I take it back. I'm glad that memory's been signed off on.
Let me tell you something. There was a story where I didn't go to my prom. I didn't go to my senior prom. But my buddy Dave, I took his sister, as a favor, I took her sister to her prom as a favor and blah, blah, blah. Nothing happened. You know, it was just a nice gesture. And over the years, I always said, man, I wonder why she never got pissed off at that. Yeah, I got my ass handed to me. So,
all right.
Over time. I can't believe you did that. You said you were cool. I was fucking lying, you know. So.
All right, let's do our final story before we get to scammers. An Italian decathlete was faced with a dilemma during a 400-meter race at the 2022 World Athletics U20 Championships in Cali, Colombia on Thursday, whether to compete with his genitalia out or cover up. Alberto Nonino began the race strong, separating himself from the pack and entering the first bend in a good position to secure the race victory. Things quickly went awry once the 18-year-old began experiencing noticeable discomfort. Cameras captured Nonino adjusting and looking down at his shorts, only to realize he had accidentally exposed himself to the thousands of fans in attendance and at home. The Italian continued to compete in the race, though was severely hampered by having to use his hands to shield his private part throughout. The issue continued to plague Nonino as he ran down the back straight and through the final bends. He slowed down at the final straight in order to cover up for good, thus accepting last place in the contest. Not to be overlooked, however, was Nonino's ability to overtake two competitors earlier in the race despite having to readjust his bottoms all the while. One onlooker was blunt in the description of the accidentally X-rated events. Last series of the 400 meters decathlon, the Italian Alberto Nonino in lane 5 begins very well but crosses the finishing line last. He went balls out, literally, journalist David DeCastro said. Shortly after the race, Nonino made his thoughts known on the incident. I just want to talk to you a little bit about the rumpus there's been on blogs and social media in general, Nonino wrote on his Instagram story. I'm conscious it was obviously an accident, and I'd like to tell you I'm aware of the reaction, and you don't need to send me the links to the blogs out there. I'm trying to laugh about it, but now immediately afterwards I felt terrible, and I'm thankful to my friends and family for helping me get over what happened a few hours later. So this was the poll I asked. Let me see.
No pun intended.
I know.
No pun intended.
Yes, yes, yes. An Italian decathlete was running in a competitive event when his penis popped out of his shorts. If you were running a race, would you continue with your genitalia out or would you stop? 63.2% said continue. 36.8% said stop.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Let me tell you something. Number one, it's totally this guy's fault. If you know you're running a race, you got to batten down your rod so it doesn't move.
All right. Come on now, man. You know, sometimes you think you got the right underwear in you, and you don't. This guy's gonna get endorsements for underwear. I am sure of it.
He is.
Yeah. You know, and number one, with your cock swinging around, getting in your hair, you know, you got to fix it. You have to fix it because, number one, it's not going to be aerodynamic. And, and it's going to... But embarrassing, you know?
It's not aerodynamic. Oh, my God, you're killing me.
Oh, you know,
I'm just imagining how uncomfortable that was. Like, just the chafing of, like, the edges of where it's supposed to be held in, rubbing against the side of it. Oh, my God, it must have curled.
Listen, those things, as has been well documented, have a mind of their own. Listen, a man can sit on his balls. That's just not right. I'm trying to think. Like, the obvious thing is, stop, you got to cover up. But you got to remember, these guys have been training their whole life for this. So I think he actually handled it as best as he can. You try to run, you try to cover. Maybe you don't get last place if you could just hold your junk in long enough. Like, listen, he would have been well within his right to just let it all flop out there and try to win, too. I mean, who could fault him?
Want everything held in front. Like, if I'm walking to my mailbox, you know, I can wear loose underwear. I mean, so my balls are swinging around like bells on an ice cream truck, I'm only going back in and back in the house. Who cares? If I'm running a race after an experience like this, you know, everything's got to be tucked in.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, look, jogging without wearing proper support on top, when those girls are bouncing around, that hurts, you know? So oh, yeah. I can only imagine what he was experiencing.
Yeah.
There's certain things that are not supposed to be flopping around while you're running, and I can imagine how much it hurt his stride that he couldn't swing the other arm because he was too busy trying to, you know, cover his manhood from everyone watching. Oh, God. You know what? Good for him that he can laugh about it now because the humiliation must have been intense.
Yeah, Beyonce's planning on writing a song about this.
I got a quick question. It also happens to runners, too. What would you rather do? It's a stop. I mean, run with your prick hanging out or shit yourself?
Ooh.
What would you do to keep going?
I got to keep going? I'm going to go shit yourself.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm going to have dick hanging out.
Because the thing about it is, it's going to be like, if you keep, you know, you're running after you shit yourself, your asshole's going to look like that big red spot on Jupiter. So, I don't know.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like shitting yourself happens to athletes at times.
Yes.
It has, yes.
So.
Yes.
I mean, and if you're wearing
thinking of me as an athlete.
and if you're wearing dark shorts, maybe nobody notices. And I'll tell you one thing. They're not going to want to pass you. They're not going to want to get anywhere near you. So you're going to be able to keep yourself some distance.
Oh, I'm sorry. Even if you're wearing dark shorts, there's not supposed to be dark redage down your leg and in your socks, too. They're going to notice.
Yeah, I guess you never shit out nuggets when you shit yourself. I guess it's always liquid form.
No, not when you shit yourself. Yeah, you know. But it's like, you know, anytime you have, I mean, the whole thing, what I do, if I really have to go, let me tell you something about last month. I really have to go ending the show. And I'm like, guys, I got to go. Oh, another thing. No, God, run.
Yeah. It's like.
But you have to say, oh, gee whiz, asshole, we're in the middle of the desert with no place to go. I guess you're going to have to wait. You know? Bullshit, we're pulling through the gate. Damn it all, asshole.
I can't believe that your internal situation has a voice.
One of the funniest lines Davin ever said, a certain someone was having an issue like that. And he said, it was the worst striptease I've ever seen in my life. Oh, yeah, I had to go. Let me tell you something. It was the worst strip show I ever saw. One of the funniest lines you've ever had, dude. On stage or off.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember that. But cool. Somebody wrote to me, a woman wrote to me on Twitter. She's like, well, I don't think I can answer this because clearly, you know, I can't relate. But I'm like, no. I mean, there's professional wrestlers. A lot of professional wrestlers, like, have nip slips and a boob falls out during wrestling and they continue. I could pretend it's a boob. You know, it's not exactly the same, but you could certainly put yourself there.
Yeah, but the thing about it is if it's a boob, you could just slip it in. Your dick's swinging around. It's like trying to wrestle up a puppy.
Yeah, but you know what? I would think with the underwear, unless he's just wearing boxers, everything else has some type of elastic.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was saying before, is that, you know, it's like whatever elastic is being used to cup the whole situation in, if you sneak out the side, that elastic is rubbing. That's got to hurt. That's like, you know, it's like playing the skin violin. Ow, with every step.
Yes,
no.
I don't know if you ever had to do it, like you had to go on stage and you really had to go to the bathroom. You go, I got to go. You're up. Let's go. And you're like, so now you're doing 35 minutes an hour, and all you could think of is, I got to pee like a racehorse. You know, that's all you mind. With everything else going, is the way she's doing this. Is the guy that's tight as an ass, I got to bring up this joke now. I got to pee. I get it. We got another 20, you know. So.
Yeah, I think usually the adrenaline blocks out the pee.
Yeah, probably.
I'm guessing the adrenaline probably blocked out a lot of this guy's pain, too.
I would hope so, because I was just thinking, the lady that talked to you on Twitter, she's not quite right, because if she could imagine, though, if you're wearing, like, thin underwear, and all of a sudden, I don't want to be too graphic here, but for ladies, there's...
Oh, we just talked about your asshole an hour ago.
I know. Well, there's...
Yeah, but that's for the kids, Joe. That's for the kids.
Let's just say... let's just say in the front, there's two sides to the situation. And if one of the sides sneaks out, the elastic cutting in there... Ow! Oh, holy crap!
How big are those meat curtains where they're surrounding the underwear and breaking out? Jesus Christ!
Well, I'm saying if you have really, really thin underwear, like some people wear thongs and stuff, and that stuff is, the middle part is just barely enough to cover the subject. And if it's like a cheap pair, it's going to get in there. And it's like you have the worst wedgie of all time. And then if you're running, oh my God.
Well, I think the message here, Pip, and it's well taken. Ladies, don't wear underwear. I think it's well taken, Pip. Thank you.
Oh, no, that... Yeah, they do. But some of the sexy underwear is like way too small.
No.
It's going to cause discomfort.
We're suggesting they should not wear underwear to avoid the discomfort.
No, there's other things that you should wear your underwear for.
What, to put your credit cards?
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm just saying that, you know, it's kind of... I always found it unsanitary that people don't wear underwear, but that's me.
Yeah.
All right. Let's on that That's almost tuna much, if you will. Okay. I could tell by your
drawing. I was trying to be delicate about it. I was trying.
Well, you're talking about delicate parts. All right. Come back. We'll do yes. We'll do some scamming scammers. On the break, we got new music from Amy Lou Shaw with Simple Things.
Amy Lou.
And Cindy Alter with Love Hurts. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com.